Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
To build a people who are established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. To another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. So we've been talking about Joseph for just, you know, for a while. Like, I was thinking it was like 3 months, and my wife's like, I think it's been all year. And I'm like, I don't know, it's been a long time though. So as I've been going through this, like I've started, like the Lord started speaking the word perspective over me and discerning, you know, we've been discerning spirits and He just wants me to kind of discern our perspective today. So that's going to kind of be the premise of our message today. And so we're going to be kind of merging the Wednesday nights and Sundays and kind of everything we've been talking about. And I want to kind of bring it to like a culmination here, kind of end in 2025 and just kind of just usher us into 2026 with maybe a different perspective than what we've kind of ended with here. So you know, Fred and Ryan and others have just done such an amazing job, you know, over however many months it's been, just, you know, talking about Joseph and just, you know, how we can walk like him, how we have the power inside of us to just, you know, forgive those that have just hurt us so bad and just overcome all these different things in our lives. And man, like, I believe that with all my heart, right? Like, that's the hope of our calling. Like, if that's not true, why are we coming here every Sunday? You know, if we don't have this hope that we can love our enemies and just embrace the hurt in our life and still love others around us. If that's not a reality, then, I mean, again, why are we here? You know, what are we coming for? So the problem is, so here's my confession. The problem is I've been listening to this for months and months and months, and I just can't lie. Like, I sit out there so many times and I'm like, I don't look very much like Joseph. In fact, I look a lot like the brothers. I look a lot like Potiphar's wife. She's never satisfied, you know, she doesn't have enough, even though she has the whole Egypt in front of her. And I'm like, Lord, man, what's wrong with me? Like, what's wrong with me? You know, and I'm like, because I know Fred and Ryan aren't wrong. I see it in the scripture, and I'm going to share that with you. The scriptures aren't wrong. So it has to be something with me. It has to be, my perspective has to be skewed in some area. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And we're going to learn to discern that through these scriptures. And so, we can't read all of it. When you get a chance, you go home tonight, I encourage you to read over Ephesians 1 and 2. It's such a good, just two chapters of scripture, just talking about what's ours, the inheritance that we have in Jesus Christ and everything that we had, the power that we have to walk out. But I just want to share a few of these verses with you. We'll start out here with Ephesians 1, 4. So I don't know if you were here one Wednesday where I kind of got up here and I like hit a blank and I didn't know where I was going. I was like, I'm like sweating up here. I'm like really hot and I'm freaking out and I'm nervous. And then I talked to the Lord about that afterwards. And I said, all right, Lord, from now on, I'm not going to try to do my own thing up here anymore. I said, we're just reading your scripture and we're going to let your scripture do the preaching. So that's how we're going to do it today. We're going to read a lot of scripture. So Ephesians 1:4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Man, we're chosen, guys. Amen. I don't know about you guys, but I don't think I'd have chose me. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'd have looked at me in my past life and been like, yeah, that's the guy right there. That's the guy I'm going to bring the message this, you know, December 28th, all these years ahead. There's no way, man. There's no way I'd have picked me. And am I the only one that feels like that? Am I the only one that sits out here? You know, everybody raise your hand so I know I'm talking to the right people. You know, I just believe that. I believe with all my heart that the enemy is attacking us in that way where we're sitting out here defeated and we're not walking in this power that we have available to us. So he chose us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. There it is right there. He's calling us to walk like Jesus, to look like Jesus. So why do I look so much like the brothers? And why do I look so much like it? We're going to find out. So then we skip a little bit further down into chapter 1. It says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Man, we can know what the hope of our calling is. We don't have to guess. We don't have to take a test. We can know what the hope of our calling is. And that is the hope of our calling. I believe to walk like him, look like him, to love our enemies when they're destroying us, when our whole family turns on us like they did Joseph, and still walk in that power. It goes on, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He's got his riches. There's his glory is a richness, what God originated and intended. There's riches in that, riches. You think of all that this world has to offer, it's bigger than that. Everything that you could hope to attain, whether it's a bigger house or more cars or whatever it is, you know, put your kids through college, his riches are that much greater. Yeah. Amen. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? There's that power. There's that power that made that was helped Joseph walk the way he walked, to be able to overcome all the things that he overcame. Amen. So I started thinking about all this, and I'm just like, Lord, why am I, what's going on? Where's my perspective skewed? And it got me thinking about kind of like, you know how these new movies are coming out, like The Wizard of Oz is now like remade Wicked. So you see it from like, you know, the Wicked Witch of the West perspective. And then the new Lion King that came out that you see from Scar's perspective. And it just got me thinking about us as a culture. And we are horrible at seeing things from other people's perspectives. I'm talking horrible, just politically alone. Nobody can even listen to what the other side has to say because we're so caught up in you know, our perspective and the way we see everything. And our vision just gets so skewed that way. And it's one of those things that I think has helped me so much in my real estate career is I've learned so much how to just see things from everyone's perspective. And I'm always telling like my sellers, you know, I'm like, you got to see it from the buyer's perspective. You know, this is what they're thinking, you know, and it's helped so much. And I think that will help us in our walk with God as we learn to discern our perspective and how we're seeing things and whether we're seeing them correctly or not. So it made me think about that. And then I got to thinking, I'm like, man, maybe I actually am more like the brothers than I thought. Maybe I'm not like Joseph. Maybe I'm a lot like the brothers and the other characters of this movie. So we'll go to Romans 2:1. And so in that, you know, as I see these other characters in the story, I've been so focused on Joseph and trying to attain that. And then looking at myself and like, man, I'm not living like that. That I've kind of missed the brothers. And as I'm looking at the brothers, I'm kind of judging them. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, dude, look what they did to this guy. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that would be like, you know, Nick and Johnny and Noah just throwing me down in this pit. Like, I mean, and we're talking like, this isn't like just some hole in the ground that they dropped him in, man. Like, you know, this was a well. Actually, the name of the place is called the Two Wells, and they're dry wells. So these wells are deep. You had to get deep to get water in the desert. And so these wells are deep, and they're dark, and there's nothing going on in them. There's no more water. So they throw him in this pit, you know, all this stuff. And, you know, it's just... And then here, you know what I'm saying? It's just these, you know, here, I'm judging them. I'm like, man, I would never do that. You know what I'm saying? So Romans 2:1 says, therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For whenever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge, practice the same things. Man, I say this stuff all the time. When I learned this in my marriage, anytime I would be looking at Jenna and be like, I can't believe she's acting this way. I get with the Lord and he'd be like, that's because you act this way to me. And I'm just trying to show you what you're doing to me. And that's what he does. He'll show us things in other people, not so we can judge them. He'll show them because he wants to see us something in ourselves. So then it made me change my perspective on these brothers. I'm like, maybe I'm not supposed to be judging these brothers. Maybe God's trying to show me something in these brothers about me. And I'm like, man, how have I missed that this whole time? So I want to journey back through all this. We're going to go back through. We're going to start from the beginning, kind of work our way back through. We obviously can't read it all. But I'm just going to take you guys on this journey, and I think you're going to get a lot out of this. So I want you guys, just as we go through this, I want you guys to just kind of picture the brothers as yourself. And I want you to picture Joseph as Jesus. And I think you're going to see so many similarities that it's just going to really help you today. So let's jump in. Genesis 37:3. You know, just a little context before we start. You know, the brothers already kind of hate Joseph. His dad loves him more than all of them. And you guys ever have pesky little brother? You just, you know, or you know in your family, maybe somebody loves somebody more than the other. And, you know, it made me think of my son. You know, we were down at Disney World one time with extended family and his cousins, and his little cousin, Selah. You know, she loved Sam so much, just looked up to him, and she's holding his hand all day. Like, all day long, Sam's just walking Selah around to every ride, you know, and she's like 5 years younger. She's like a little kid, and she grabs it one more time, like Sam had kind of crept up and got away from her, and she came up and grabbed it, and Sam comes around, he comes running back to me, and said, "Dad, can I please stop holding her hand? I don't want to hold her hand anymore," you know, because he had been holding it all day, you know, and I think, you know, it's not that Sam didn't love her, you know, it gets hard sometimes with siblings like that. Well, you know, see this from the brother's perspective and what's about to happen, and how Joseph has that pesky little brother. So it says, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him." So they already hated him. They're coming into this part before he ever dreams a dream and tells them all that. They already hate him because they know their dad loves him more than all of them. "Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more." This anger is just building up. Now, I know none of you guys ever do this, right? I mean, we can't even stay in the same church. You know what I'm saying? Somebody says something, we're like, "Ah, forget them, man." Well, wait till this happens. "So then he said to them, 'Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf rose and stood upright. And indeed, your sheaf stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf.'" I mean, imagine that. This is like me coming to Noah and Johnny and Nick and be like, "Sorry, guys, I'm going to be bowing down to my sheaf." You know what I'm saying? This is just how it's going to go, you know. "And then his brother said to him, 'Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?' So they hated him even more for his dreams and his words." Man, we don't want anybody to have dominion over us, guys. Fred wouldn't have to keep preaching about it if we did. He's always telling us. How many times we hear Fred talking about submission, then commission, then remission, you know, all this stuff, all the time. If we had it, he could move on to something else, but we don't have it yet. You know what I'm saying? So we don't want, and he's about to hit him with the second time with this. "Then he dreams still another dream. And he told it to his brothers and said, 'Look, I've dreamed another dream. And this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars all bowed down to me.'" So then now his dad gets mad. "So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, 'What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to earth before you?' And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind." Man, Joseph just keeps hitting it. You know what I'm saying? Like, "You guys are going to bow down to me." I don't even think he was being malicious about it. You know, again, let's picture him as a type of Joseph. Jesus wasn't malicious about it. He said, come to me, all who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. We don't want to come to him because we don't want to surrender our will and our ways. And that's exactly what's happening here. That's how we're like the brothers. And he's like Jesus. So let's go to 37:23-27. "So it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him." The tunic represents his divinity, his authority. Notice that's the first thing they stripped from him. We don't want to give God his rightful place. "Then they took him and cast him into the pit, and the pit was empty and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat a meal, and then they lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels, bearing spices, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry them down to Egypt." You know what's crazy to me about that part right there? They just throw their little brother into a pit. Their plan is to kill him. And they decide they're just going to have a meal. I was just like, Lord, we can be like that though. Just attack our brother, cut our brother off, and just go on about life like nothing ever happened. "So Judah said to his brothers, 'What profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh.' And his brothers listened. Man, how much do we do that? Oh, we're not going to sin that bad. You know what I'm saying? We're not going to kill them. We're just sell them. You know, then now I can keep myself righteousness. You know what I'm saying? I can go on. Everything's all good. You know, I'm not going to steal from my employer. I'm just not going to give 100% while I'm at my job. I'm not really stealing, you know, time. That's no big deal. I'm not stealing any product. You know, how about my wife? I may not be cheating on her physically, but what if I'm emotionally detached? But then I justify that. Well, I don't know if you guys ever listened to Nate Bargatze. He's a great comedian. He's like, I'm saving up this one for our fight. And he's like, but I do my own laundry. I'm not that bad. Anyway, it's so good. Oh, but isn't that what we do? We act like those brothers, man. So you might be thinking, you know, it's like, yeah, Derek, I don't think I'd do that. You know, I might be mad at him. I might beat him up a little bit even, but I'd never sell him. I wouldn't kill him. I'm not capable of that. I got a verse for you. Go with me to Matthew 23, 30 through 33. I took this from the Passion Translation. Christina hooked me up and got it so we could have it up here like this. So, because they can't only do the one version. So appreciate you, Christina. Then you boast, if we had lived back then, we would not have joined them in killing the prophets. So this is the Pharisees, right? So this is Matthew 23. If you read through this, it's all in red because Jesus is talking. And every other verse is, woe to you, Pharisees. Woe to you, Pharisees. Woe to you, Pharisees. And he keeps breaking it down how they're just acting as hypocrites, right? So we're doing the same thing here. The brothers are acting like some hypocrites. And we're acting like some hypocrites because we acted like we wouldn't be this. I'm not like the brothers. I'm Joseph. But your words and deeds testify that you are just like them and prove that you are indeed the descendants of those who murdered the prophets. Go ahead and finish what your ancestors started. You are nothing but snakes in the grass, the offspring of poisonous vipers. How will you escape the judgment of hell if you refuse to turn in repentance? I mean, that's my confession, guys. I've been feeling like a snake in the grass. I know this is heavy, man. It's not a big amen. I promise you this story is going to take a turn because there's always the but God, you know. But I just want this to weigh on us, you know, because again, I think I've been going through this story, and I think what happens is we'll get ahead of ourselves sometimes, and I'm kind of like the foundation. I teach a foundations class here, and you know, like Fred and Ryan are trying to preach us to some maturity, which I think is amazing, because I'm telling you, I've been a lot of places, and you know, just like everybody's testified up here during this Advent season, this isn't happening everywhere. There's not preachers everywhere trying to preach people to maturity, because preaching people to maturity is hard, and it's heavy. And people don't want to sit under it. So you preach people away, and then the tides go down, and then people are complaining, and they're tired, you know, and the list goes on and on. But I'm just going to be honest with you guys. It's just, that's how I felt. I felt like this snake in the grass. I'm like, Lord, where am I missing it? Why can't I walk like Joseph? What am I missing? You know, just a little bit of recap here, because we're going to jump ahead, but you know, Joseph gets put in this pit, and then he goes on, and most of us have been here, but I know some people maybe haven't been here through this series, but he gets accused of raping Potiphar's wife, he was falsely accused, and he gets put into prison falsely, and he just goes through all more of these trials, and it just horrible things happening to him. I mean, as I'm just like, man, I could never have all that happen to me. I mean, I did a little bit of time. I did, you know, 6 months in London Penitentiary, and it was nothing like that, I promise you. I did some study on what that dungeon was like. You were forced labor. I mean, it was intense. And so for Joseph to come out like that, it's just amazing to me. But so as he's there, so how he gets out of prison, though, is there's a famine coming in the land. And Pharaoh has the dreams, and Joseph is able to interpret those dreams to let him know that this famine's coming. So Pharaoh puts Joseph in charge of this. So the Egypt doesn't, you know, fall apart during this famine, and everybody has food and how they're going to store up food. So I did this little research on a famine and just kind of the technical definition of it. And it says famine is a technical term for the most extreme level of hunger. This is going to come into play really big here as I continue here. Defined by widespread starvation, extreme malnutrition, and death in a population. You know, and I know whoever wrote this wasn't writing this to be spiritual, but that word death, meaning separation, this is what famine causes in our life. When we're walking through life and through this famine, we're going to get separated from God because we're just starving. We're not going to the one, to our source that has our the ability to keep us nutrition. This occurs when specific thresholds are met. Over 20% of households face severe lack of food. 30% of young children suffer acute malnutrition, and the death rate significantly rises. When we're walking around in malnutrition, that our separation from God continues to rise. It signals a catastrophic food, nutrition, and health crisis. It signifies a regional failure in food access. And I love this. It requires an urgent international intervention. I'm so thankful for God for his intervention. Amen.
Amen.
Like I said, when he got, I couldn't have been more starving. You know, I've heard a lot of people say, you know, you give your testimony and it's crazy because you've been to prison and on drugs and all this stuff. And man, you got such a great testimony. I wish I had a testimony like that. And I always say my testimony really isn't anything special because I was dead. You know, I had nothing to live for. I had nowhere else to turn but God. The ones that impress me is people that have everything in this life. They think that, you know, they have food, shelter, they have everything they need, great job, great family. It's a lot harder to see your need for God. I was malnourished. I was like that dead dog in the corner on the streets of LA. I had nowhere else to turn. So when he came to get me, I'm like, I'm coming because I got nothing left. Obviously, he fed me pretty well. So, So I'm going to jump to Genesis 42 with me. So, you know, I find this interesting before I read this verse. The brothers, they're in this famine. They have no food. And they don't even want to go. Their dad has to send them. So let me read this. So Jacob sent his sons, went to buy grain among those who journeyed, for the famine in the land of, there was famine in the land of Canaan. You know what's crazy about this is, you know what the land of Canaan was? That was the promised land. They were living in the promised land, yet they were still experiencing famine. You know, so the Lord started speaking to me on this. I was like, Lord, what's like the modern day, you know, promised land? He's like, the church? But we can sit in these pews every Wednesday and Sunday, be starving inside, surrounded by this great land, and be just sitting in famine. And man, that's my confession. I've been doing it way, way too much. So then go with me to Genesis 43, 29 through 30. So they go to the land after the last, or they go to Egypt and they come to Joseph, and Joseph's like, nah, he doesn't reveal. They don't know it's Joseph. They don't know it's their brother. And he's like, I'm not giving you guys anything until you bring Benjamin back. So that's kind of the brothers have come back. They told their dad they're not going back unless they can take Benjamin. And so they've just come back with Benjamin. And I love this. So he lifted his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, this is Joseph. Is this your younger brother of whom you spoke to me? And he said, God be gracious to you, my son. Now his heart yearned for his brother. Remember, Joseph is Jesus. I don't care if you sold Jesus out of your life. I don't care if you've thrown him in a pit. You've put him in the corner. I don't care how dusty your Bible is. He's always yearning for you. Yearning. Just waiting for that day of reunification. Man, isn't he so good? And so Joseph made haste and he sought somewhere to weep. And Jesus is weeping over us, guys. Weeping. Lord, he's just like, I just want him to draw near. Just come to me. I have everything you ever need. I have all your provision. You don't need to stay in this famine that you're in. Come to me. He's weeping over us. And he went into his chamber and he wept there. So go with me to 45, 4 and 5. I love this. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near. Then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, who you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves. Man, I've been sitting out there grieved and angry at myself. You know, I hear about Joseph and all he's doing, all he's overcoming. And I'm like, man, I can't do that, Lord. I'm failing every time. So then what I do, I get afraid. I won't draw near anymore. my perspective gets skewed. It says, don't be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. God is so gracious to us, isn't he? Will you go with me to 45:9-11? Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me and do not tarry. So now he's bringing the whole family. Oh, you shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me, you and your children and your children's children and your flocks and your herds and all that you have. Guess what Goshen means? Draw near. They were in the promised land experiencing famine because they weren't drawing near. Man, I sit out there and I beat myself up and I'm afraid. And here all the time the Lord's saying, don't be afraid, Derek. Don't be afraid to come to me. I'm weeping over you. I'm yearning for you. Just draw close to me. Come to Goshen. Just draw close to me. And I love this. There I will provide for you, lest you and your household, and for you and your household and all that you have, for you and your household and all that you have come to poverty, for there is still 5 years of famine. Even when we draw near, there's famine ahead. We're never going to get away from it. That's why we always got to draw near. Because that famine's still, there's still 5 years left. I don't care how long you've been saved, there's 5 years left. And he's just calling us. He doesn't care what you've done. He doesn't care. He chose us, remember? Remember we read that in Ephesians? He chose us. He already knew what was going to happen. He knew all the mistakes I was going to make. He knew I was going to be sitting out there feeling like that failure. And he yearned for me anyway. He loved me anyway. Will you go to the 47:27 for me, Mariette? So Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt in the country of Goshen. And they had possessions there and grew and multiplied exceedingly. Man, when we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, man, there's provision there. We don't have to be starving. The enemy wants you starving. I don't know about you. I'm not trying to be heavy, but man, I'm starving. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not fulfilled. Like, and it's because I'm not dwelling. You know, just like Karen said, sometimes we got to look at ourselves. You know what I'm saying? We got to look at ourselves and say, maybe it's my fault. Maybe I'm too busy judging. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I'm too busy with my perspective caught up in judging. And God's trying to show me something through that judging. He's trying to feed me. He's trying to give me purpose. Prosper. Press forward. Help someone else along the way. Man, they grew and multiplied exceedingly. Don't you guys want to multiply exceedingly? I mean, you know what I'm saying? I know this is like Bible terms, but that's not how we talk today. Like, you ain't going to find that on TikTok. Like, we're going to be multiplying exceedingly. But I don't know what that is, but it sounds pretty awesome. You know, I want to multiply exceedingly. Go with me to 50:17-21. This is so good. God's word just preaches all on its own, man. It's just so good. Thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. And Jesus is, he's just there. He's just, he wants to forgive you. He's just weeping over you. Again, he's yearning for you. He's like, you're forgiven. Come to me. Don't be afraid. Just come.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.